When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And where's our tiny Tim?
Tim! I'm coming! I'm here, Dad! Happy Christmas!
We're on to buy the finest Christmas dinner in London. And I can't do it without you, my boy.
Now, just a minute. No one's going anywhere till we bundle you up.
Did you like it?
I want an update on your neighbor across the street. I want to understand what's going on.
Oh, well, you mean the high-tech limousine business that lives across the street?
Let's talk about this is a great beginning to us returning for a second. I don't even know if anybody who listens to this show knows that this was a thing. Praise be. New tunage slaps. Thanks. More places forever. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to twitch.com/... probably did you read it? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you have a neighbor across the street who lives in a fucking goddamn mansion and has a limo, a massive Hummer limo parked in front.
Stretched excursion limo.
Wow.
Fresh off the factory line in 2005. Yeah. It's like got that dated feel right now.
Yeah.
And I've seen her before. So this is not the first time I've seen her, but she also has a GMC. I'm just going to call it the GMC Nevada. I know that's not the name of a car, but it seems like this is about what the car would be. And it is, the doors are open and it just seems like it's pumping exhaust into the air.
Yeah.
It's a Nissan Pathfinder.
Okay. There we go.
It's probably like a 2003, but it has 13 miles on it because I think it's never left the
lot.
So this lady looks like a homeless lady under a bridge.
She's wearing a huge winter jacket. She has a massive dreadlock. She's really old.
And she has like a goatee.
Yes.
She's probably 60s. Right. So she kind of looks strange. The house is massive. It's probably worth like a couple million bucks if it was like cleaned up. I've never seen a light on. So what I think the car does in the front yard, I think the car turns it on, used as a generator to like run, like that's like her gas powered generator. Cause it'll just run sometimes. And I think there's like an extension cord that goes into the garage and then she charges up something.
Wow.
Cause I've never seen like a home light on.
Did you steal her internet?
Yeah, I use her internet. Her internet speeds are the best.
Wow.
Her uprates and bit loads. Woo.
Those bit loads. Honestly, you can't get a good bit load in this city anymore.
It's hard. It's Obama, you know.
I'm telling you, Obama Building 7 ruined bit loads for everyone.
Come on, man. Come on. Okay. Hey, get off it. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean.
Do you know?
So apparently her dad, the lady across the street, the father was like she's an illegitimate child of like an East Coast marriage, that like powerful family.
No shit.
Apparently her dad was
a Kennedy.
Was like George Bush Sr.'s like attorney or something.
Ooh,
like,
what in like, the fuck?
There's like some like story like that.
Are you making this up? Is that true? Holy shit.
And so she's like the illegitimate child of like one of his like affairs.
Damn.
And she's 60. So this all happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I think she like came to the West Coast to like show everybody the fuck off. Like, I'm going to live my life and let my freak flag fly. And I'm pretty sure there's just like a trust fund and she's apparently like very wealthy,
right,
and has tons of cash to like buy a $3,000 electrical bicycle that she cruises around on.
Fucking but amazing. Like
is basically homeless. Also,
she's also like, so she's living life exactly as she wants to live life.
It seems that way.
Yes.
And she's not hurting anybody, Right?
I feel like
except the environment.
Dog, you strike me as somebody who looks extremely admirably upon this woman.
Yeah. I literally don't see anything wrong with like this.
A lady crush. Yeah. Hello.
I'm picturing this as my future potentially. seemed cool. I mean, here's the only difference is like I would live in the mansion.
Right.
She lives there. It's just like it's just not kept up. Like it really is like filthy looking and kind of gross.
That seems like something I'd do too, though. Yeah, like cash everything out, buy that mansion, but then I can't afford to actually heat it.
Yes,
or,
it seems like what probably power. So Shia
pool back there.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So Shia LaDouche brings up a point, and I was actually thinking this similar. This almost feels like she is like what would have happened if Tom Hanks in Big wouldn't have actually gone back to normal.
Yeah.
Like where he actually wouldn't have ever figured anything else out. And then eventually it would have just been like that crazy guy who has all those toys and just like.
Right. He's just stomping on giant pianos like forever.
Forever. Literally forever.
Was there any benefit to him? Like he didn't time travel, right? He just changed bodies. So he couldn't have like invested in retrospect. Or
No.
No.
He wasn't. Yeah. There was like in a couple years, he would have just been like a mid-level manager at a company.
Yeah.
Started like doing blow and getting hookers and drinking too much scotch and like.
Had insurance fraud problems. All those things that adults eventually
his
do.
His voice charm is about to wear off. So.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Anyway, all right. So this is Did You Reddit. What do we know? This is Did You Reddit, a quarterly podcast. we function according to financial quarterly reports. Yeah. That's what this is. Podcast about the internet in Reddit by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is Krampus.
Oh,
today
I'm Dog Boobs, guys. Dog 2021 noobs.
Nice. I'm Free Day Expensive Nights. You know what I mean? Ooh.
Cha-chow. Cha-chow, y'all.
Humble Servant.
Oh, that's cool. I just did Humble Servant.
That's Dog.
Cha-chow.
I love
Cha-chow. Is we finally that gives us a lot of room to be the.
We need to add a
the rock the rock jock for rock jock DJ
next so quarter.
Next quarter when the earnings come out, we'll invest in that. Anyway, so we decided to do, it's been a few months since we decided to do our 200th episode, then friggin' chill for a second. For a lot of reasons, as we discussed in the pod, I was getting a new job. You know, it's going to be really busy. Friday's kids are teenagers now, so they were fucking, throwing rocks at each other.
Kids are all grown up. I was telling a story that one of my kids found a bone in his penis the other day while he was taking a poop.
That's cool. That's great.
Yeah. And yeah.
Very exciting.
And I said it to you guys, but I'll say it again. But when he yelled at me from the toilet, it was like, "Hey, Dad." His voice just changed quite a bit.
It's like sounds like Tom Waits now.
Yeah, he's weathered. Let's just say.
Well, being 26 is hard.
It is hard
in today's day and age.
It's really tough.
I'm just happy he still lives at home, and we still get to spend this time with him.
It's a scary time to be a 26 year old. It is really white Italian boy in this country.
All with the with the insurances and things. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't pan out.
You still got another one though. So.
Yeah,
he didn't pan out. Is such a hilarious way to talk about a kid. He didn't pan out, but
yeah. Local legend funny. Didn't pan out. Yeah. It was like an Onion headline.
It does feel like an Onion headline, but anyway. So we're doing a little holiday episode, and we're just kind of recapping some of the stuff that happened this past year. We've also received some very nice messages over the past few months, just of people either like. Discovering us and wanting and like kind of saying fuck, why are you guys done, or people that have been with us for a long time, i.e. our fucking person Blaustein,
best friend of the pod,
we
love all of our fans, but it was really great
our
to
lad
hear
Casey
from.
Knight, yeah, all of them
from you guys, so but thank
so
you.
Thanks for that. So we're I mean, this is going to be the last episode, like we had discussed. It was never really intended to be like the last ever episode. It's just something we're gonna like, we're gonna like space out maybe a little bit more. Just we gotta like focus on some other shit so that we don't fucking get fired from our jobs and our kids don't.
We gotta clean up our taxes out. So we don't end up taxes. In prison.
Exactly. That's what it all comes down to.
Getting kids to school, like this is the part of having kids they didn't tell you, like it's a whole fucking shit show.
It's gotta be like a battle.
Every day morning. You wake up, you're like, oh, fuck. Okay.
Oh, God.
It's like the worst. And you're like, God, PB&Js, lunches, breakfast, clothes, They brush your teeth. My kid looks filthy. Ah, God, like shit in his pants.
You're the like, clock just counting the clock's ticking down.
Boom, boom,
right,
boom, and it's like all 6:58 still. You're like, ugh. Oh, and then you get him God. To school, and you can like
finally breathe.
Chill.
That's why.
And then you get a call from the principal. That's just yeah. like Charlie brought another yeah. fucking like.
Yeah.
He's talking about the bone in his dick again. You got to take him out of class.
Charlie brought the 4-foot katana that it's your dad gave his father.
Yeah. I love, at some point, he's going to get disciplinary actions for bringing knives and swords to the school. And you're going to yeah. be like, I don't know where he learned it. And then they're going to listen to an extensive yeah. 6 years of us talking exclusively about making sure everybody in the world has at least one sword from this one novelty store.
You gave me throwing cards that were knife bladed.
Yeah, I did that. Oh, wow. I did do that.
And so I've had them like in this garage, just right. in a drawer. And like me and Charlie use playing cards. We play war. It's a good way to like learn to count. And
right, right, stuff. Right.
Only matter of time until he finds the bladed cards, right. which he's found multiple times. Like he's like, look at these. I can like chuck them at stuff. And I'm like, oh, geez.
I gotta
throw these away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someday, like, every kid discovers their dad's porno collection. He's going to find your
knife collection,
your novelty knife collection.
Dude, it's yeah. right here.
Okay.
Sick ass blades, dude.
Look at these.
Are these all true swords blades?
A couple of blades.
I love it.
Fucking amazing. Outrageous.
There's a couple of blades.
This is good radio. This is absolutely good radio. Anyway, so we're going to talk about some of what has been happening, some of the bigger, hotter things, because there actually has been some fucking slam dunk Reddit stuff that's been going on. We're actually in the middle of, I know we were just talking about this in the pod before we got on the air, that we did not know that anti-work was going to become what it became.
Yeah.
But it did, however, even though it became what it became, we didn't remember that we had covered it.
Yeah.
So when it was all of a sudden becoming this like phenomenon, we were kind of like, oh wow, like we should cover anti-work. And then I went back and I saw that we did a 2-part episode on it already. we probably need to do a little bit of an update on anti-work, because anti-work is like kind of, it's kind of become the next like Wall Street Bets in a way.
Yeah. If you guys are paying attention at all, unlike us,
right.
we did an anti-work 2-parter at the beginning of 2021. Check it out.
Yeah. In the middle of a drunken 2021 haze. Yeah. Where we literally don't remember any of what happened.
Yeah. It was like, but you know what? That was when we were starting to become really into, you know, learning about this right. funny, weird subreddit, and
right.
now it's all over the news.
Yeah, now it's not a funny, weird subreddit anymore. I mean, originally it started as, so for anybody keeping track at home, r/anti-work, reddit.com/r/anti-work. So originally when we had talked about it, it was actually coming through our own malaise. Mostly you, dog. I think yeah. you were just like, I don't want to work.
I don't like working.
Yeah, I found a subreddit that's just a bunch of people who don't want to work. But what it became is actually like a foundational part of the labor movement.
Yeah.
And everything that we've been seeing more and more of it happening, which I think is obviously extremely encouraging, seeing, you know, Kellogg strikes, the John Deere strike. Is that what the one was that they actually did yes. settle?
Yeah.
Amazon
trying to bust unions, like a whole right. bunch of shit going on right now. That's totally. so tied to the right. anti-work move.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I wouldn't say it started as a Reddit thing as much as the Reddit kind of changed its principle behind what it was intended to be. I think originally it was a little bit of like why do we have a 5-day work week? That doesn't make sense, right? Which, you know, we agree with, and that tracks, right? It's a little bit kind of like the adjacent to late stage capitalism and right. like those subs. But then it really took on a very significant role where even there are things now, I know with the Kellogg strike in particular, Reddit is a big part of this, where, and it's hard to say where like the Reddit advocacy and like TikTok or Twitter begins and ends, but mm-hmm. I know on Reddit they've been very like, whenever you see a posting for permanent replacement workers in the Kellogg's boycott or the Kellogg's fight, if you will,
yeah.
make sure that you apply with fucking bogus names so you waste their time, right? And that's like a Reddit thing and a Reddit tactic. That's something that's happening.
Can you give us like the backstory for all of us who I'm talking about me here.
Right.
You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So you know what scab workers are?
Oh, yeah. I got scabs everywhere.
Ooh, I got scabs all over me.
Yeah. Scab flakes. Scab flakes.
Scab flakes, everybody.
Kellogg scab flakes.
So.
Is that not a meme yet?
It should be. Scab fruity flakes or whatever. Okay. So when there's like a strike. So Kellogg's union members decided to strike, and Kellogg's, instead of meeting their demands, tried to hire a bunch of scab workers, which are workers that come in out from outside the union, right, to do the work of union workers.
Yeah.
It should be illegal to like hire non-union workers for union jobs, but whatever. So Kellogg's was starting to post jobs, or is continuing to post jobs for these scab positions.
Right.
And so it's being attributed to a lot of Gen Z.
Right.
And I think it is a lot of people on Reddit and a lot of people that are using the internet to basically just submit a shit ton of resumes, right, for these jobs and then ghost the interviews. But it's also become like they've sprinkled crack on it because some super smart Gen Zer like made an algorithm so that like every single time Kellogg's posts one of these positions, like 500 of these resumes get submitted. So it's just like a magical waste of time for this huge company.
It's an interesting evolution of like in the past, if you were a scab worker and you wanted to stop them from working, you would like line up on the docks with your Irish brethren and you would like beat them with bats.
Yeah, yes. fill a sock with pennies and hit the scabs.
And, like, just kill people.
Yeah.
Right.
And now, instead of doing that, like, it's not physical, but they're still stopping the process from happening in you know, an evolutionary way, like that a Gen Zer would, which I think is pretty fucking chill.
Yeah. Right.
But don't sleep on the beating people with bats technique, too.
No.
Well, we can't. Yeah, I mean, we can't lose sight of where we were, what worked.
That's right.
It's like back in the day, those Irish brethren, it's like kids were outside more, you know, like playing and using their muscles. And now, like, our kids are all really weak with noodle arms, but like they know how to make algorithms. So we have to use our strengths. You know,
play to your strengths is the theme of this pod.
Exactly.
It is the theme of this quarterly podcast.
Special quarterly
podcast
pretty,
that we do.
Pretty sweet. So Kellogg's is in trouble. They're not being able. Now, does this mean I'm going to have trouble getting my cereals?
Yeah, actually. This is what's interesting about the anti-work movement is it's
psych. I buy my cereal at Trader Joe's, dude.
Consumer scab over here.
No, is that they make their own stuff like down the street and probably somewhere.
Yeah, with fucking non-union workers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Scab.
My cereal is actually made in Xinjiang province, which like I'm sure there are some that are made in like some Chinese area, and you're like, how the fuck am I eating Chinese cereal, here? Dude?
That's actually an interesting. I wonder, do they put pro union and messaging on products? Like what you could say, like proudly union made. Or probably union, whatever.
I think it's going that way.
As an opportunity for you to make sure that you don't buy the stuff that you don't want to get.
What's like the Made in America sticker, right? Like,
totally.
You know, hopefully you'd think people would vote with their pocketbooks,
right,
as they say.
Right. I mean, I think we are going back into that world. I think this whole movement reminds me actually a lot of when the, what is it called? My brain is fried. It is when in the Middle East, they were doing all the protests.
Arab Spring.
So it reminds me of Arab Spring.
Different
because,
than Irish Spring soap, but still, Irish, I don't know.
Still just as sweet.
Irish Spring was also a pretty important movement.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. So it reminds me of the Arab Spring because the Arab Spring, when it happened, it was like, First it was Lebanon, and then it was somebody else, and then it was somebody else, and then it like they try to do it in Bashar al-Assad. Well, Egypt was successful.
Syria
was like no. And so we're kind of seeing that now where like John Deere was really successful.
Mm-hmm.
Kellogg's is really difficult right now.
They're like no. Yeah,
they're trying to put up, but even to the point where I don't know if you guys saw this, but Joe Biden did like a official like White House letter about Kellogg's and why he was like, unions are important. Kellogg's needs to fucking chill the shit out.
Wow.
And is this like profit Is it like shareholder profit driven?
Oh, that's 100% what it is. I mean, because all it is. So the whole point of this is that, you know, they haven't been getting what they deserve for a long time. And inflation is like going through the roof right now. Our inflation's getting crazy.
Yeah, you don't got to tell me about it, dude.
I got a good little out of the loop post here. You want to hear it? Oh,
good. Sure. Great.
Woo. Okay. The workers at Misa called Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, Misa. Yeah.
There we go. Ooh, that's that. Yeah, okay, yeah. We still got it.
Okay.
big Willie style.
Good radio. So, all right, continue.
Kellogg's workers have been on strike for a couple months, as we said. The main thing that the union wants is the removal of the company's two-tier payment system, where you have veterans getting paid well and new hires getting paid considerably less. There have also been they've also been working on something on the order of 16-hour shifts and 80 hours a week during the pandemic. Imagine
Fuck
spending
that.
Half your life awake or not at work. In the last round of negotiations, Kellogg offered a 5-year contract to the union that included 3% pay raise.
Yep. And however, I think inflation right now is at 6.5. So
they're taking a pay cut.
Yeah.
It not only kept the tier system, but removed the cap it had on the number of low-tier workers Kellogg's could hire.
Uh-huh.
So this would effectively kneecap the union in the long run, as the company could just keep replacing veterans with newbies until they have no more vets left.
Cool.
There you go. Interesting. 3% pay. God. Meanwhile, all these Kellogg's probably made record profits last year, and all the shareholders get their huge billion-dollar bonuses.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's complex. I mean, it's also if I had to make a bet, and I'm gonna just like throw my fucking hat in the bet train, I believe is the phrase.
Yeah, it is.
Throw your hat off the train.
I throw my hat off the bet train
while waving to all the ladies.
That is the phrase. I think this is gonna end with teachers' unions. I think teachers' unions is where it's gonna be like the moment where it all finishes, because we've seen a little bit of it happen.
Yeah,
but teachers are kind of the most publicly. It's a real serious necessity, because obviously if people aren't teaching, that's the education system has been a major bummer throughout the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
And teachers are just like woefully underpaid, and they have a very strong union. So.
Well, it's like, it's super clear, especially now that I'm a father. Right. but like, you know, you just realize schools are like daycares for most people to go work.
Right.
And like taking that out of the, I mean, people are fucked if teachers going strike.
No, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's like
nobody really needs scab flakes. Like,
no.
I mean, eggs are still the best breakfast. You know,
they are.
If the chickens go on strike, we got problems.
Yeah,
then we're gonna start dying.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that. I think the private school thing.
It's tough.
Expensive.
I support unions. I do think that there is. It's an interesting balance, because I think that was always one of the issues with teachers, is like the teachers union was always kind of a problem, is because you kind of had a similar model here where you'd actually have really bad teachers that would not get fired because of the teachers union. And it was a bummer, because you have these kids who are just like, I fucking hate math because fucking Mr. Dipshit was a pain in my ass all my childhood.
Right.
And then he's just like keeps his job and gets to do whatever he wants. So.
Now, and they're not generating, like, the difference between Kellogg's and
the
teachers is, like, Kellogg's is generating profits and teachers.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's a protective measure for teachers, but.
Pupils.
Yeah.
Pupils.
Pupils. Yeah, I mean, I hope, I still think that we need, I know that we are a big economics podcast here, I still think we need a proportional wage structure that should be almost a law in the United States. It would fuck up globalization, and a lot of people would say you're going to destroy the economy. But if the highest paid employee doesn't make any more than 500 times the lowest paid employee, that's a law. I don't know. I don't understand why we don't fucking do that. Because then if the CEO wants to make more money, you can make more money, bro. You just got to pay your fucking homie a little bit less or more. That's my model. My whole thing is the CEO should make more money and the people below him should make less money. That's my whole stance. It's not my stance. Anyway, so that's kind of been what's happening in anti-work. But I will say also anti-work is still continuing its trend with almost a little bit more fervor and vigor of what they had been kind of doing previously, which was people just kind of quitting their job gloriously, or there's a little bit of sabotage that I think is happening, and people are kind of celebrating sabotage. But this is actually going to be a good segue into the next big sub that's kind of been dominating, which is like anti-work for a labor union is real, or a labor movement's really nice and important, and anti-work as a place for people to talk about their gripes with the way the system works is really helpful. But there can be a negativity that then makes people go, I don't want to be a part of that. Actually, this is really not good. Well, you know, where you kind of have a lot of that, like, my boss said, hey, I'm so sorry, I know it's a holiday, but is there any way that you can come in? And the person fucking, you know, roasts them on the internet and says, fuck you, I hate everything about you, I'm reporting you to the CIA. And then you're kind of like, I don't know if that's really quite correct, you know? So there's an interesting balance, and I think that sometimes you'll see anti-work kind of move in one direction or another. But right now, I think it's been a pretty helpful part of the labor movement. And then you also, by the way, so another thing about anti-work that we're seeing a lot right now is it's always on the front page. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. I'm constantly seeing it on the front page, which is a big deal, I think, for something that has this level of like grassroots advocacy to be a popular thing is you know, it makes a big difference.
The front page went from
butts,
guys with their butts out,
yeah,
to real things about the economy.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also just like a broad catharsis, right? Where a lot of the things, you know, I'm looking at the fourth down this past month. Let me see. Past week on anti-work. Let's see. So it's second down. So it's just like, today was my last shift as a non-union worker. When I clock in on Saturday, I'll be working for the first unionized Starbucks in the U.S. So that's another thing that's actually pretty cool is like, I don't know how unions work. I don't know what the fucking state of unions are post Jimmy Hoffa, because I feel like they really haven't heard much of it. But like, I work in a fairly abusive environment. So I don't know what happens when, you know, what happens when people in like the marketing industry or like white collar jobs have their own union because they have to work
these. I think you have to get everybody to sort of agree that they would join the union. You have to have like 51% of like the total pool of workers.
How do you even start? Yeah. How do you even start? Do I just like, do I go, hey, you guys want a union? You'd be like, maybe.
You become one of those bullshit assholes in front of like the supermarket who's like, you want to sign this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it's just like, it's like grassrootsy shit.
Yeah, Survey Monkey.
Survey Monkey.
And Survey Monkey.
You like pound on doors and people tell you to fuck off for like 4 years. Yeah. And then eventually you're like, we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is, you know, the other thing
they paint a mural of you in some alleyway.
That's probably why white collar workers will never unionize, because they're 51% of them are probably not going to like have it bad enough to band together.
And it's a good enough environment, I think,
comparatively.
Your abuses come from what? Like people expecting you to always be working?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
mean to me.
Well, I think it is an element of, there's a shared, it's different, but it's similar and the same. I mean, you do see a lot of stuff on anti-work that is white collar work.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it where it's just like my boss is a dick on my day in my like, you know, white collar fucking bullshit job. I'm not talking people who are like the CEO or the CMO of whatever. I'm talking to people who are just like, need you to work again on Sunday. And they're just like, dude, what the fuck? And I think that part of what I think happens in our industries is people go, that place works you to death, I'm going to a different place. Yeah. And then like new young people fill the work you to death zone and then they leave eventually. It's just kind of a cycle. But so I saw this down because this is a very like Gen Z thing. We're seeing a lot of like Gen Z traction, I think, right now as well. Mm-hmm. They're kind of starting to like take the bait and taking our fucking the fish out of our bowls. The millennial fish out of the bowls. I'm using all these like, you don't know, terms. It. All these terms I'm using today are things that have been happening for the last 2 months. You may have not heard them. That's why we're breaking it to you. But everybody's saying take the fish out of the bowls.
That's an old Baltic Sea reference.
It is. So Gen Z Earth to the rescue is a 17 down this past week. I told there's a tweet, a screenshot of a tweet. I told earlier how Gen Z's crashed Kellogg's website by submitting bogus applications online when it sought job apps from strike breakers to replace union workers. Update. One of them who wrote a program which uses random data to submit bogus applications 24 hours a day. So that was what you brought up. But I think that's a good point of like Gen Zers are being attributed with some of this action as like, we don't fucking take this shit anymore.
So what it's interesting. It does seem like the idea of how you spend your time in your life for your job is changing,
right,
which feels good.
Right.
But won't these companies just move somewhere where they can exploit people harder?
Well, so this is this is what I was mentioning about the globalization thing. I didn't actually finish that thought. So have you guys seen the movie about, it was the Obama produced movie about that factory in China, or a factory in America that China owned in Cincinnati?
Really, really good movie.
What's it called?
Really nice documentary.
It's called American Factory.
American Factory, yep.
Oh. It was fucking depressing.
Oh, so depressing.
But fantastic. And I left there going, well, China's got us.
Dude, honestly, that was, that was kind of what happened. It was like that movie.
Checkmate.
Was very illuminating to the point, to the fact that, like, if people don't want happiness, then they're not going to seek it. Right. And
or
so
if they don't know it's an option.
Yeah. And like that was in China, I think the way that that movie, and, you know, was produced by the Obamas, a little propagandizing, of course, but it was like they bring in these Chinese workers, and the Chinese workers are just like, they work till they work. They fucking smoke cigarettes in like a cubicle, like bedroom. And then they work, you know, 17 hours, and they go back and be like, my life is,
there's a scene where this guy is like works. He's worked there every day for the last 3,000 days.
Yeah.
And he gets like a smoke break on a Sunday afternoon. He's like crouching in a corner, like smoking a cigarette.
So
like,
literally exactly
like,
right.
I mean, like an alleyway. This, and he's like, this is the best part of my life. Like he says that.
You're totally.
Like, whoa.
It is, and if that's the standard that we as a society are okay accepting, then we're fucked. because these people are just like, we need to work less than 14 hours a day. And China's like, there's never been a single person in the country who's worked less than 14 hours a day. And then Kellogg's goes, well, shit. I mean, like, let's do a little math, guys. Like, how much is it really to ship cereal from fucking Beijing? Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here, guys.
Can we make it fresh and ship it over? And the answer will be yes.
Yeah.
And then that's what will happen.
Right.
Or Mexico or you know, some, probably Mexico, right?
Probably Mexico. I did see, though.
NAFTA, Bill Clinton, blowjobs. Right. I mean, it all comes
building
back.
Building 7, dude.
Building 7.
It all comes
seven,
back to building everybody. 7. Okay, so moving on. So I think to the next topic. So that's kind of what's happening in anti-work, amongst other many interesting things. Let's talk about Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
Oh, dude, I love that guy. 777.
Oh yeah.
Or was it 999? One of my favorites.
He was a pizza 666. Magnate, right?
I just remember he had a tax plan that was like, I want to say 999.
Corporate tax, 6% income tax, yeah, six pieces of pizza.
It should be 666. That's like genius marketing.
It would have been. Ah, I know.
What a boner.
What a boner.
But he's dead, right?
He's dead. Yeah. So he
died of the COVID?
He died of the COVID. So this is, there's been a...
I'm Herman Cain and I own pizza, right? He was that guy.
Yeah, that was the one. We all also might be lying about all this. I don't know if he owned pizza. I think he owned pizza, right? Didn't he own Tombstone?
He had a
or something?
Pizza chain that nobody heard of in California.
Let's make sure that he did actually own pizza so that we're not talking about somebody else.
Yeah, no, he did.
He was a chairman and CEO of Godfather's Pizza.
There we go. That's the one.
Glad we confirmed it.
Godfather Herm. All right. So Herman Cain. So we actually, this is one that we, as soon as we put this shit on a hiatus, immediately this was like the fucking... The Cat's Pajamas.
Yeah.
It was all over the front page. It was becoming increasingly controversial. And I was like, you know, probably should talk about it at some point. But basically, there's a subreddit called Herman Cain Award that you've probably heard of at this point because it's 427,000 readers. And it's the whole point. So Herman Cain died of COVID. And the reason it is called the Herman Cain Award is because he denied COVID, like literally up until after he had died from COVID, his staff was still posting COVID is not real, vaccines are not true, yada yada, like literally as he has, they're prepping his funeral and they're still posting this shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it was one of those things. And the Herman Cain Award now is the award, and the way this form, this subreddit works really is so Herman Cain Award. So I'm looking at the sidebar. It says, additionally, Herman Cain Award is not affiliated nor associated with any external Herman Cain Award body of any other site. So if the Herman Cain Award, the Herman Cain Presidential Godfather Pizza Award for Freedom, this is not that. This is the Herman Cain Award where if you are a fucking dipshit who doesn't get a vaccine and like posts on Facebook repeatedly that like Joe Biden is a fucking narc and Building 7 happened because Donald Trump like wasn't president at the time or some fucking bullshit. And then you go, and COVID's not real. And then you get COVID and then you die from COVID, you get the Herman Cain Award. And if you only get COVID from that, you get nominated for the Herman Cain Award is the language.
Right.
Right. So
here's a fun little post from the Herman Cain Awards subreddit that I am sharing on my screen.
Ooh.
So you'll notice a lot of the people that are receiving Herman Cain Awards are boomers, right. But not all of them. Not all of them. But boomers, we know, sometimes get that laughing emoji mixed up with a crying emoji. So
they're perfectly stated to both not believe in COVID, but also die from it.
Right? Yeah, so it's true. Check out this post. It says,
it's so funny.
It shows a bunch of these laughing emojis on Facebook, and it says, "It's with great sadness. My son blank died of the coronavirus at the age of 39. I don't mean to laugh, except there are all these laughing emojis." And so a bunch of people respond with like crying faces. A bunch of people respond with more laughing faces that I'm assuming they think are screaming, crying, and agony faces. And someone writes, "Get well soon." And the author writes, "He will not. He is dead. God bless."
God bless.
And there you hilarious. Go.
I mean, so, yeah, that's part of the this subreddit has a little bit of the goofs and gaffs of boomer humor.
We do love it.
But it is it's tragic. And this is kind of where this is what I was saying a little bit about the anti-work movement and the anti-work subreddit is there is a level of toxicity on Herman Cain that's pretty like unmatched because it is just celebrating and laughing at people who have died from COVID. That's the whole point of the subreddit. But it is doing it only because it is like it's self-aware wolves. It's the same shit. This is the self-aware wolves specifically for COVID, essentially. Mm-hmm. But it is like we see these boomer posts, and then one of them dies, and then we laugh at them. But the whole point is that we're trying to, through the act of cruelty, let people understand that there are consequences for their dumb social media actions.
Yeah.
Which and I agree with.
I'm
like
sorry,
that.
You're not going to get my prayers and good thoughts when you've actively been campaigning against the vaccine.
Right.
And then, COVID hits you. So it's like.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm not going to waste my prayers on you.
Yeah. And some of this too is like, I think this is, it's interesting because there's a lot of like, there's clearly sorrow here that people are kind of like using this like cruel, dark humor as a way to cope. So there's like people that are like nominating their parents, because they're just like, my parents, this is what my dad was posting. And now I have to nominate my parents. So, I think this is the post, by the way. So the original, the one that kind of started it all off, I'm actually going to share my screen because this is the Herm scenario.
Big Worm
himself. Did you guys see that? I think it's seeable. Okay, so yeah. this is the one that started it all. So because I saw newbies asking why it's called the Herman Cain Award. Herman Cain, post number one. Don't believe everything you hear on fake news. I never had the Wuhan flu because it doesn't exist. Mask off, my body, my choice. Plandemic.
Oh,
Plandemic,
boy.
Should have been Oscar nominated internet documentary.
Oh,
it sucks. Don't watch it. Ignore the outrage. Ignore the thugs. Defy the violence and the left wing shaming. Right. And then this is also part of his. He went to the Tulsa rally. That's where he actually got it. So June 20, 2020. Masks will not be mandatory at the event, which will be attended by President Trump. People are fed up. Here's just a few of the black voices for Trump at tonight's rally, having a fantastic time.
Oh, yeah. So fun.
And then on July 2nd, we are sorry to announce that Herman Cain has tested positive for COVID-19 and is currently receiving treatment at the Atlanta hospital. Please keep him and all of you who are all who are battling the virus in your thoughts, in your prayers.
That's a real left turn, huh?
Real left turn. Caitlin McElnaney, the old press secretary. Herman Cain embodied the American dream, represented by the our hearts grieve for his loved ones because on July 30th he must have died. And then on July 30th, a deleted tweet. It looks like the virus is not as deadly as the mainstream media first made it out to be.
Literally post death.
Yeah, sir. The virus killed you. You died from it. Yeah, Herman Cain being killed by a plan by a pandemic, and then later tweeting that the pandemic isn't real, that deadly isn't the most thing to happen, isn't the most important thing to happen in 2020, but it is by far the craziest.
So was it on like an automated tweet thing? I That's bet. What happened. Okay.
It's either on an automated tweet thing or his
staff
would just
want to bring the heat on themselves.
Yeah. Or like Dan, the intern, woke up late, didn't hear that Herman had died. Like,
fuck, my alarm didn't go off.
My planned tweet. Yeah. I was supposed to post at 8.
Yep.
That's like the equivalent of using like words like organic and synergy in a business meeting that you're not prepared for. Except his has to do with plandemic and COVID's not real. Here's the twist: your boss died yesterday.
Oh my god.
This is a funny one. This kind of sums up, I think, the tude of the sub. So COVID early treatment experiences, ivermectin, et cetera. And then William Lewis. This is a private Facebook group, obviously, because why would it be anywhere other than Facebook? Ivermectin. This is another thing that fucking happened why we weren't recording, by the way. Facebook doesn't exist anymore. It's fucking Meta now.
Oh, yeah.
There's memes for days for about 15 hours.
And we feel like dog boobs, you need to get into the Meta pretty early and start decorating ottomans and things.
Yeah. Shit.
Honestly, I think there is a cottage industry waiting to happen that you need to fucking exploit.
Actually, make this business agreement right now. We'd like to represent you as your agents.
Me?
Yeah. You're the talent here, obviously. You get in the Meta.
Right.
You start building ottomans.
Yeah. Okay.
Selling them off.
Look, to people who want ottomans.
Of the
You guys take 68% of the profit?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we each take 68%.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Then you get the rest.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Seems cool.
Gotta see it in writing, but I'll sign.
See it in writing.
COVID early treatment experiences, ivermectin, et cetera. Ivermectin saved my best friend's life, and I'm here to share my story. Janice, I'd love to hear your story. Janice, a few months ago, or William Lewis response. Janice, a few months ago, I found out that my best friend was sleeping with my wife. I was devastated and absolutely filled with rage, but the week before I planned on murdering him, I was diagnosed with COVID-19. Since I am not vaccinated, I took ivermectin to treat it. It did not work at all, and I'm now in the hospital and I can barely walk, let alone kill my best friend. Ivermectin saved his life.
That's pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Good twist.
Yeah, and also you have people that are like, hey, we decided to get our fucking shot. Thanks to you, my Gen Z son.
Are you guys a little bit conspiratorial about the big pharma, like with all this?
Here's where I am
profits,
on this shit.
Like media control, like it feels
I think
like there's some healthy skepticism we should have.
Yes. I think like anything
based on their history.
I mean, there is truth in conspiracies, but they're not true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like I think that the Pfizer, the fact that Pfizer is a publicly traded company and they're now using using marketing money to like talk about their own company on like NPR and shit is like suspicious and sketchy, but it's also partially because I think that there's an element of there's a couple things happening. I think one of it is like we don't want people to only think we are a COVID vaccine company.
Yeah. Right?
Because Pfizer is a massive drug company. So if you're trying to get like fucking
afraid all like, the conservatives are gonna not want Pfizer drugs.
Yeah, like whatever Pfizer's equivalent to Gatorade, they want you to buy. Yeah, you know?
I'm sure they just make everything.
Yeah. And then I think that the other side of it is like there is a weird thing that I've noticed a little bit in the world of the COVID trial, COVID whatever, where there's like, I got Moderna, I got Pfizer. I wish I would have gotten Moderna. I wish I would have gotten Pfizer. You know, so it's like, I think there's also a little bit of like, we make as much as people want the thing.
Yeah.
And if the thing is good and the other company is making the profit, then it is a whole different thing. So I understand that. Now, the flip side of it is, like most conspiracies, it's fun to think about them, but it's fucking inconsequential.
I don't think it's a conspiracy as much as it's like business,
sketchy business shit.
That like helps them potentially more than it helps.
I was talking to Clensington.
Yes, that sounds right.
My father.
Is he vaccinated?
Yes.
Ooh.
So
didn't know he was such a libtard.
I know. This is what's funny is Clensington and his wife, they did get vaccinated before the Fox News
got to
skepticism machine got going. And I think he's regretting it.
Really?
I think Why? He like, so he got him. He got the booster.
That's
like,
hilarious.
He's like,
look at this thing out of my blood.
He's like, God damn it. I fell for it. I really think it's like working on him now. Oh, thanks.
Oh, yeah. We're also, for anybody who's listening and not living in Los Angeles,
California, and it's the coldest place right now.
Los Angeles is officially the coldest place in the planet. It's about 51 degrees right now. So
amazing.
We're all just, our fucking fingers are turning blue. Like, send help for our Arctic frosted limbs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes, good radio. That is good radio.
We can trim that out.
We might not. We might not. Live. We don't want anybody who's new to the pod to think that we're something we're not.
I got it, guys. Yeah.
I'm watching Dog Boots from Blue.
I got
there.
The Vornado right here.
Oh,
the
thing is, I love it.
It's a beef.
All right.
A beef.
Sorry, guys.
Anyway, what were we talking about? We were talking about
Shia LaDouche is like, fuck off. I'm in London right now. Sorry, Shia. It's going to be...
Shia, I don't think you have any idea what 55 degrees Fahrenheit feels like.
We're dipping into the 30s this week.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh,
like
my
the
God.
High 30s.
I don't know if you know that, but water freezes in the 30s for us.
In the low 30s.
Yeah.
Specifically, exactly 32.
Yeah. We may not get snow, but close.
Yeah, we're close to
in the
snow.
Morning.
So we're colder than you.
We're cold.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So
Clinton was talking to me the other night. We caught up a little bit, and I don't even know what we were talking about, but he did mention, you know, yeah, kind of like these vaccines. You wonder, you know, what we're all going to look like in 20 years. Maybe I'll have an extra head.
Right.
And I was like, His wife says, well, four eyes are better than two.
Hey, man. She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. And I was like, no. Well, you're assuming your second head isn't going to be a Cyclops head.
Ooh, that's a good point.
I don't know all that. Like, messenger RNA is like what? It's like not a vaccine. It's like this other thing.
Right.
I don't really understand. It's like it's gene therapy or something. Like, it all sounds higher above board than what I'm trained for.
Sounds higher, smarter than I know.
So I just honestly don't know enough, but is it like going into my DNA and going like,
yes.
And like giving my DNA like new information to fuck?
Maybe.
That's, first of all, good on you guys for figuring that out.
Yeah, I know.
I can barely.
How do they do it?
They're putting a little email that they attach to the gene and he goes in and hands it off to.
Dude, that's sneaky shit.
To fucking your white blood cells.
That's and then they have the information.
Right.
It's like they send a pshoo, now you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know.
That's cool.
It is cool. So here's the thing with vaccines, right? I don't know how any of them work. Well, let alone the mRNA.
The old vaccine model is pretty simple. Like a little bad guy comes in, they recognize it.
Right.
They put a red tag on it. They go, this guy's bad. Now you all know.
Right.
He comes in here again, we kill him.
Well, but I think that's...
And that was like a simple... But this is different.
I think it's kind of the same thing because... But I think that my understanding, and this is us knowing literally nothing about any of this.
We're just talking about why Clinton's speculating he's going to have an extra head.
Right, exactly.
Because this feels like a jump in science.
Right.
And that's why people, I think, are just concerned about, what is this dude?
Well, I think you're introducing the... Like the information that didn't exist because the virus didn't exist, right?
Right. So you're guessing about what the virus looks like on a Xerox copy. You're like, it's like a police sketch of the Zodiac killer. You're like, you think he looks pretty much like
pretty much.
And then you're sending that around your body. You're going, it's pretty much like this.
Looks like
that's why the vaccine might not work as well against a
new strain,
strain or something because it's always changing. Yep. Which that's is why the vaccine. Isn't really going to be like an answer.
No.
Because the thing is changing.
Right.
And
it's
dying
be
his hair.
And, yeah. And this is,
new
I mean,
facial hair. Different
he's got
goatees.
The mustache. He's got the Groucho Marx glasses. No one recognizes him.
Yeah.
We injected you with the Groucho Marx vaccine.
Yeah. Sir, you are
our
a
blood needs based... to be, or like our bodies need to be smart enough to like imagine the imagine COVID with a Groucho Marx.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
And I don't think my body's that smart yet.
So, but I think that this is the, so in the conspiracy world, this is where things I always fall apart for me, where like, you just don't like, obviously it's choosing the facts that you feel like are interesting for your narrative that you can then use right. in the whatever way you want.
I think it's not conspiracy. It comes back to just money. Like, well, I think they're just like, look, this is like a really good business model for us.
Of course.
Like car insurance.
Like anything else. Yeah. It's like, another model, but
you make it a lot and insurance companies all of a sudden make a lot of money, mm-hmm. you know, like.
Of course.
They're going like, ooh, this is good for us.
For sure. But I do think that there's the way that I've heard people argue about it and whatever. It always comes down for me. I'm just like, what is you giving a shit about this going to do? Will it literally do anything?
I ask myself about everything.
Yeah. It's like
it's like if enough people decide not to do it, then it theoretically doesn't catch on or something.
Yeah.
Maybe, but like that battle's already lost. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, you can't really.
I think if it's
you versus the government, what do you think is going to happen?
Like, I think if people don't want to take it, that battle's lost. Like, they're not going to take it now.
Totally.
So, and that's, I think it's fine. Like, there's all these other forms of treatment too now that are coming out. These new antivirals. Like,
for sure.
If you don't want to get the vaccine and you want to do something else, like, there's an option at least. That's good.
For
right?
sure. Yeah. Well, also, fine. I think that there's.
Can we all go back to fucking the EDM show already?
Yeah, I want to go to baseball games, man.
I'm trying to burn here, dude.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to burn. I think there's a little bit of that. I also think there's like, I had a conversation with somebody the other day. We may have brought up this on the pod before because this is like my long running, like, I don't understand why people don't do this. It doesn't make sense because of exactly what we're talking about. We're like, why isn't insurance or why don't insurance companies just make your fucking shit way more expensive if you don't get the vaccine? You're more likely to get sick. That's how cigarettes and shit work. Like, if I'm a smoker,
they do, right? The vaccine specifically.
Yeah, if I'm a smoker, then and I put that on my insurance, and if I don't put it on my insurance, it's insurance fraud. But if I put it on my insurance, then my fucking insurance goes through the roof because they're just like, dude, you're gonna get fucking lung cancer. Yeah. So we can't give you normal health insurance because when you get that, it's gonna be expensive for us. So if they do the same thing with COVID, why? I don't understand why they don't do that. It doesn't make any sense.
I think it opens the door to a precedent that they're not necessarily. It makes sense. Like, I think, like, let's just say you're fat as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, overweight, same shit.
And you just crush cheeseburgers all day from fast food. Like, you're going to cost the health system more than somebody who's very healthy.
Right.
And we all pay for that. So, it's the same thing with the vaccine thing. Like, if somebody chooses not to get it and you're going to spend 6 months in the hospital, hopefully you just die. Then it's going to cost everyone else all this money. So I don't know. You're getting to a point where it's like people's life choices are going to affect the cost of existing. And maybe it's a good idea. Maybe it's like, and then you get into like social credit and like, how much are you worth to the system?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you want that all? I know they're concerned.
I mean, he's probably
opening a door of like putting numbers and values on people.
Exactly. Well, we do that anyway, though. It's not really opening a door because that's just the way the system works.
Like credit scores.
Well, we do that with car accidents. We do that with credit scores. It's like if you were in a car accident, even if it was a stupid fender bender, like your insurance goes up.
It goes up
because people go, well, it's more likely because you're a risk that it's going to happen. So if you
live life on the edge.
Yeah, and if you don't have if you are choosing to not get the vaccine, and we know that you getting COVID is more likely going to be taxing on the system, then your insurance should go up. And then people are just going to be like, that's fucking bullshit. But they're not going to have a leg to stand on because that's how every other system
works.
Literally every other system.
Take risks, your insurance goes
up. If I have bad credit, the loan that I get is going to have a higher interest rate.
Right.
Because they know that I have to, it's going to have to incentivize me paying it off.
Right.
Right. So it's the exact same system we already have, which I think is just kind of like what we have to do. So I know, I mean, before we went on hiatus, I know Jerry Geico used to listen to this pretty closely. So if Jerry, Jerry Geico is listening, the insurance man,
fudge off
or take our advice.
Yeah.
We'll take 68% of this idea. Yeah. Fudge off or take our advice. All right, so that's kind of it. So the Herman Cain Award, we can kind of go into that a little bit further, but it is worth noting this one has a little less of the depth of anti-work, but it is another one of those subs that was getting a little bit of the mainstream Kathy and Hoda shine because I think people were like absolutely disgusted by it because it was celebrating death. And then they were like, the point is not to celebrate death. We don't want to be celebrating death either.
Yeah.
You did this.
Right.
Right. Which I think is kind of what made it tonally very interesting and kind of made a really cool sub and still is a cool sub. I don't think it has quite the level of like every day there's new Herman Cain Award stuff thank God, but also like, I think there's also just like a little bit of like, it's just gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like it's like we're never gonna vaccinate everybody. People still, I know that it was originally it was like a sin to compare COVID to the flu, but now I think in terms of behavior, it's a little bit more appropriate. Where like some people don't get the flu vaccine and they die from the flu. Some people are just gonna get COVID and they're gonna die from COVID. The goal is that we leave this world of all this fucking propagandism bullshit, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, that's, I don't want to be in a situation where people go like, you know, I've never heard of somebody being like, I'm not going to get the polio vaccine. Are you fucking crazy? Yeah. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll take the fucking polio vaccine. It sounds awful. Right. So I think it's kind of, or like, you know, tetanus vaccine. Like when you like, cool, there's always a chance you're going to step on a rusty nail and then your jaw is going to lock up for the rest of your life. And you're going to fucking like, I'll take that vaccine, you know? Right. But
you have to see the alternative, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like this is like a tongue-in-cheek,
exactly,
snarky way to do that.
Love it. All right, so what else is happening that we can talk about?
Your boy, Josh Duggar.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Josh Duggar.
He's a pedo?
He's a pedo.
Well, he...
What kind of pedo are we talking about?
He's a pedo, and Duggar goes,
Pump the brakes, guys. The brakes. I don't like to judge. Yeah, no, he's a pedo.
Yeah.
But we've known this for a while.
Right.
But he was recently found guilty.
Yeah, he was convicted. He's properly convicted,
now,
right?
I only just barely know this story.
Right.
He had 9 kids or 7 kids, and we loved him for it.
So the Duggars, so he's actually one of the sons of the original Duggs.
Yeah.
And the Duggars, the original Duggars have like 48 kids.
Okay. The Duggars.
Like insane number. I actually think it's in like the 20s or like the high teens.
This is good for Shia LaDouche because Shia LaDouche is from Britain.
Oh my gosh.
He's from Britain.
From here on out, we're going British accents.
Yeah, so this is, the Duggars are peak American blood. That's what
So the Duggars, and he's one of the original 20 kids who then had 7 kids or something.
Yes, exactly.
Right. He is global warming.
He is global warming. He is a carbon foot.
It's not global warming in this house right now. I'll tell you right now. California.
More warming like happening. Global burr chilling. I told Clensington was telling me about his Texas weather.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you know, it was 85 degrees out. And I was like, oh my, well, it's a lot chillier here, you know, with the global climate change.
Oh my gosh.
That was cute. So anyway, Josh Duggar is one of the original kids. He has a wife and they share 7 children. He was hit with federal charges in April of this year of receiving and possessing child sex abuse images, including of children under the age of 12.
Okay, good. Because I was going to
Okay, good.
Great.
Very nice.
The reason I bring it up is because I know it's not a topic we like to delve into, but like if he was looking at, and we're splitting hairs here, but like I think there's a difference between like 9-year-old porn and 17-year-old porn.
Right.
It's all kind of under the umbrella of like, this is not good.
Right.
Yeah. But I think one is considerably way the fuck worse.
Yes.
And one is like still like, I don't want to be friends with any of these people. Okay. But under 12 is in the really bad.
Like one, if I know a guy who's looking at like barely legal, but on the under the line and of like, barely legal porn, then I'm like, you're a pervert. Like, you're disgusting.
Yeah. Right.
That's creepy. I question why you're into girls who are, you know,
it's not,
quite 18 yet because you're, you know, gross, disgusting. Right. And it's illegal. It's not right.
It is. Yeah. It is illegal. There is a legal line. It's not like a,
it's not like just more, it's not right. They're still children.
Right,
like
you're
not able to make or to like knowingly consent to anything at that age.
Right.
But you're right. Like if you're literally prepubescent, like that,
it's not good.
It's a whole other kind of ball game. And that's the ball game that Josh Duggar was playing. So he was found
the ball game. As Josh Duggar was playing.
That's he found good. Guilty this year, or this past week, in fact. So he was found guilty of downloading, possessing the images, and I don't think he's been sentenced yet, but...
I know this doesn't matter either, but is it... we don't know if it's, like, girls or boys or all of the...
Boys, I thought.
I don't know if it's been proven, but I do think that it may... not just be boys, because I believe when this all first started coming out that they said he had abused some of his own little sisters.
Love wasn't that it. Wow.
So he maybe was abusing his own little siblings back in the day.
And I'm sorry if you have your own seven children, like I hope he wasn't abusing his own children, you know? You
so
never know.
Why so a couple things here. So one, this has actually been a week of interesting cases that we can talk about, or the last couple weeks, because we also had the Jussie Smollett case.
Oh yeah,
been wrapping up. That's very strange. Yeah. And
that one's fun to me.
It's like, it's fun and weird and
very
stupid.
Weird.
He's a hell of an actor, right?
He pulled that one. The role of a lifetime.
The role of a lifetime. The
role of a lifetime. I mean,
Emmy. Where people are saying Emmy nod.
I mean, you can't listen. Just because you're not on the TV screen when you're acting, it doesn't take you out of Emmy consideration. You know what I mean?
He like got in front of everybody early on and was like, "This is what happened to me."
Right.
Everyone's like, I guess I buy it. Like, that's a good, compelling story. Yeah. I mean, it turns out none of that happened.
It was a great performance. It was a great performance. So Jussie Smollett's a weird one.
Psycho.
And then, of course, Ghislaine Maxwell. I mean, that's the big daddy,
the tip
number
of the
one.
Iceberg, dude.
Big time.
So this is my thing about the Josh Duggar thing, is because he's a celebrity, and he's a conservative celebrity, I believe, which is why we think this sucks, right? That's like the whole, or that why we love the story. Because, you know, like people get convicted of fucking shit like this all the time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I'm like, is he a celebrity that people give a shit about, or is this just
I never heard about this.
Why is he?
The Doug?
Like, why does he matter? I don't understand.
I think it was because they were such a crazy... Well, first of all, I think we all love a hypocrite story.
Yes, I think I think that's the core of it.
Yeah, because he...
It's a Christian thing, right?
It's a Christian thing. So you've got these crazy Christians who are having a million kids, and then, you know, they pass judgment on literally everybody, and then here he is...
Wearing pants in church.
Yeah, diddling himself to kid pics, like,
go. Well, that helps a little bit more. So let's talk about the Jussie Smollett one, because I mean, every crime case is a little bit of a downer, and you know our stance on this pod. I think we're a little bit of a
pro-crime.
We're pro-crime.
Love crime.
No, I think we tend to be like, the world is sad and it fucking everything sucks. Even if we're convicting child molesters, we're also like, I don't love it. It doesn't make me feel good, you know?
I don't love it.
The news is sad. Yeah. I don't know if the world is sad, but it appears sad through the gaze of the television set.
That is true, but I also think that there's like a,
it's macro sad, micro happy, macro sad, micro not always sad.
I like seeing bad people go down, but I don't like seeing that it exists in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, remember we did that sub that was like, what was the one that was like find an object or whatever?
Oh yeah, geocache.
It was the one where it was like you look at like it was this really interesting episode we did that I don't remember it.
It was like the kidnap child trafficking one.
Yes, exactly. And it was terrible. That's kind of what I'm talking about. It was like fascinating sub, fascinating, interesting topic.
Trace an object.
So this was a sub we covered called Trace an Object, where people literally post images from child abuse photos or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, but not the actual child abuse photos, but it's like something like that. And then
literally just like they'll trim out a picture frame in the background and they'll be like, we've removed the incriminating pieces of this picture, but if anybody recognizes this picture on the wall, like that might help us identify who this kid is.
Or like it's a blurry image, but like what brand of soap detergent could that be sitting on the counter? And then if it's like, it's a Paraguayan soap company, they go, oh, Paraguay, we're going to Paraguay.
It's very interesting. Even if they show like an outdoor image and people can be like, that type of tree I recognize from like South America. Yeah. And boom,
those only exist in this region of,
narrowed it down.
Exactly. So, all that to say, child abuse is a bummer. So I think that cool that Josh Duggar is a hypocrite who's getting, you know, is getting his fucking penance for his hypocrisy, et cetera. But also bummer that this is even a thing that happens. Let's go to a more fun court trial. Jussie Smollett. So what actually happened with the Jussie Smollett one? Well, I know that I mean, it's not new news about what happened to Jussie Smollett, but where are we in the process? I think he was convicted on all accounts except for one.
Found guilty.
Of
essentially lying about the thing that happened to him.
Yeah. Guilty on every count except for one. So this is from, I don't want to even click on that. It's a bit of a bummer. Mm. This is I'm looking like what's the good link here to, and the first thing that comes up is the R conservative subreddit.
God dang it.
Because this is definitely one of those this is
culture war.
This is an absolute culture war flag, unfortunately.
Well, honestly, the two stories are interesting. Like Josh Duggar is a story because he's conservative and he's a pedo. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then the sort of liberal media is like, haha, we got one. Right, and then exactly. This is sort of now the conservative media is like, haha, but we got one too.
Yeah.
And it's
your
bullshit. So it's like they're just,
it's very politicized. It's like
both these guys are fucks,
yeah,
right?
We look at like the Duggars as totally. Like, oh, the Christian right. We got a hypocrite on your side, we got a loser on your side.
Right.
You're right. It's like Jussie Smollett was like a liberal. You know?
Yeah, I mean he's gay, he's black, he's an actor, he's Hollywood, he's like all these things that the liberal people are like, yes,
yeah,
he's perfect.
And attacked like, for being gay. But, like that's something that liberals are trying to bring attention to.
And then the Trump thing.
Discredit that.
Yeah.
Then they're like, fuck yeah. We love discrediting stuff like that.
What a psychopathic
It's a crazy move by Jussie Smollett for sure. Can we talk about what actually happened so that people everybody knows? Yeah, this is actually this is one of those things. My instinct is to be like, oh, it's such a bummer that conservatives are taking so much glee in this. But then you have to stop yourself and go, hold on. That is also doing the binary polarizing thing where I just go, shucks, my team lost.
Yeah.
Right? Which is like not the
fucking thing. Our reaction.
Right. This is like he is a fucking loser, a piece of shit guy.
Yep.
And they just happen to be relishing in it because it matches their agenda. But it's like, it has nothing to do with that. It's still the reality of what happened. Because the opposite is actually a bummer, too, where people go, like, justice for Jussie. He got a fucking... Duh, duh. And you're just like, no, dude. Like, he fucking was convicted for a good reason. You know?
Out of the loop. Do you have it up, dog?
Yeah, I have one out of the
loop. Okay, cool.
So it says, first of all, Jussie.
It's Jussie. Yeah, for all
Jussie.
The... It's J-U-S-S-I-E.
Jussie
Smollett.
Justice, which took me about 6 months to figure out.
Excellent cowboy name. Yeah. Excellent cowboy
Jussie.
Name.
Really? Hey, Jussie.
My name's Smollett. Jussie Smollett.
Hey, Jussie.
I drive a Palomino horse.
Yeah, I drive a Palomino horse. Okay. Jussie Smollett, is an actor who used to be on the show Empire.
Hmm.
On January 29th, 2019... He claimed he was attacked by two men in MAGA hats who used a noose on him and threw bleach on him. Extremely racist imagery here in this claim. In the subsequent investigation, it's very credibly alleged that the entire incident was staged from the beginning. The ridicule comes from the way that it was done, which sounded very, very dubious, to be kind. Number one, he claimed he left his apartment in 40-degree weather in the middle of the night to get a sandwich.
Mm.
Two.
And it was like strangely at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Two, he claimed two Trump supporters in MAGA hats in a notoriously liberal city, Chicago, told him, this is MAGA country. All right.
What? Yeah.
It's not MAGA country.
Actually, Obama country.
Yeah literally. And number three, it turns out that the guys who assaulted him were two large Nigerian men who he claims were his personal trainers. They claimed he paid them to do the hoax. Oh, and just for fun, during the trial, he revealed that he both smoked weed and masturbated in a spa with them. This plus a funny bit about it by Dave Chappelle has caused him ridicule. There you go.
So he jerked off in spa with the people who attacked him.
There's some like speculation of a relationship between Jussie, who is openly gay, and one of the brothers who's not openly gay.
Mm.
And I think that's like another potential wrinkle in the story, and that Jussie Smollett's case actually used that in the trial, but the other Nigerian brother denied it or something. So
weird.
Where I think in Nigeria, though, where they're from, like they just murder gay people. Though,
yeah, so I don't think it's a good. It's not, I don't think it's like good energy to be gay there.
No.
It's a very strange trial or a very strange story. It definitely has that like well, juicy Hollywood goss kind of thing.
The other question is then you go like, well, why fucking bother with any of this? Like,
right. Totally.
Are you, and then it gets to, are you just trying to like raise your star power so you can negotiate more deals in Hollywood?
Right.
I mean, it's possible.
I just don't understand.
What was
why.
He on? He was on Empire.
But why do just, is this all a ruse just to get in the news? Ruse to get in the news?
A ruse for the news? It might be, and to like become, a lot of people, people with Munchausens who are like, they lie to people for the sympathy and the attention in that way. Maybe it's something like kind of like that, where he wanted to be a little liberal sweetheart.
Right.
And he wanted the pity and the like, that the comforting of people being like, you poor thing. Oh, my God, you poor thing. I don't know. It could be something like that.
What's frustrating for me, like when that happened, you're in the middle of this sort of culture war of Trump and liberal and all this shit. And like this throws a lot of fuel on the fire. Of
totally.
Like, you're like, no. Like, it almost feels like.
Guys,
FBI setup. Yeah. You're like, why? This isn't good for the country.
No, that's why
like people are pissed.
In all over Reddit, the reactions are all from conservatives. Mm-hmm. All the conservatives are like, fucking told you there are crisis actors, and told you liberals are scumbags. And so that's kind of part of the bummer. And then the other side of this too, of course, is that like the in general right now, the left is fucking getting their ass kicked because they are just not good at what they do at all, right?
At all.
In general. Like, and it's on the political side, but it's also on the like social side where they just choose bad targets and their arguments are like fucking dumb and weak. So the reason I say this is all, this and is also as like, somebody who is a pretty fucking liberal person, but is like, this reminds me of when I was a Christian where I was like, I used to be a...
This field, it's exactly like religious... malfuttery.
Yeah.
It's like, this feels culty. And you're like, wait, but we're not going to space heaven when we drink the thing. And you're like, I can prove it.
Yeah.
And then people are like,
totally.
We're drinking it anyway.
Well, when I was a Christian, I was like, I started over time. I was just like, you people are the worst.
Right.
And it was a little less like, I don't believe in the thing anymore. And a little bit more like, I don't want to be associated with these fucking idiots.
Right.
And it was like becoming more and more of a thing to the point where I was just like, I don't not believe in some of the tenets and basic value systems of Christianity or whatever, but I don't want to be associated with Christians because they're fucking lame, they're mostly like lame people who I like don't feel any sense of tribe with.
Yes.
And that's like becoming increasingly the case with like liberalism. I'm just like, all of the liberal shit I believe in, but like, I don't want to be associated with these people who are like, do the stupid shit and like, and they like go like, we need to retry Rittenhouse because that. I'm just like, dude, he got off his innocent. You're fucking, what are you doing? Like,
exactly. You know? Like, don't dig your heels in on something that already was questionable. Like,
totally.
Move on. Yeah. You're making yourself and all of us look like fucking idiots.
Yeah. And that's, and totally.
It makes you realize, like, I'm sure, like, for the rest of time, we will all like feel a sort of community with people with different titles and names and whatnot. And we'll feel like we want to, I'm a liberal or I'm a this or I'm a that. But the fact is, it's like once you give yourself a name, you're basically basically aligning with everything that group does in the eyes of other people.
Yeah,
even if that's not the case. So it's like you just learn to not follow. Want to do it.
It's like when you're a Ravens fan and your star linebacker murders someone, you still have to root for the linebacker. Because you're part of that team.
You have to put on your brass knuckles.
It's
the
worst
out
way
there.
To solve problems.
It's fucking terrible. And I'm embarrassed by it. I'm just like, I look at it, I'm just like, this is fucking embarrassing. Like, this is stupid. You guys are fucking
Which brings in our next guest, Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang. Everybody.
Clappy, clappy,
clappy.
Well, he's welcome to Venice Beach,
California.
That
became like a fucking Joe Rogan pit out of nowhere. No reason.
I wish we could have panned over to Andrew Yang walking in.
Yeah. That would have been, oh, God. But this is the big reveal for Christmas. We have a new person on our podcast. internationally famed political correspondent and potential running mate.
Are you voting Yang Gang?
Yang Gang.
Third party, forward party? Know. I think it's interesting. Let's do it. Hey.
I don't know what the system is. Let's mix it up. I will say, over the last, you know, we were pretty fucking big ass Bernie heads, or at least I was. And I was just kind of like seeing the way they treat him and the way they talk about all this stuff. I'm just like, you guys are fucking embarrassing. I'm not supporting your shit, man. Yeah. I don't know what I'm gonna vote for, man. I'm gonna vote for like the fucking meme party. Yeah. I'm just gonna like
My ass, exactly. Write that in.
My ass. For
I voted for the last two presidential elections. Both my children were both born in those years.
Right.
And so I wrote in ballots, baby, because I was like,
Charlie.
Yep.
Let's make this happen.
And I thought, I'm a great dad.
Yeah. I'm a really good dad. I support my kids.
Yeah. I'm a really cool dad. And then I'm going to show that to them when they're graduating high school and say, you guys can do anything.
In a total anomaly, your child gets actually elected.
I called it.
But elected as a 4-year old.
Yeah.
And then
this does feel like the next
one of those big moments.
Arnold Schwarzenegger joint.
Well, yeah. if you named your kid like Joe Blow or something.
Joe Blow.
But then all of a sudden you could be like, excuse me, there is a Joe Blow. And be like, well, according to our numbers, Joe Blow got 65% of the vote this year.
This is how every comedy movie in the 90s was made.
Yeah.
It's like, it turns out your 4-year-old is president.
He's actually president.
First order of business, no pooping in the Oval Office.
It's Sunday on Fox.
There's always like an awkward scene in those movies too, where like the 4-year old falls in love with his like press secretary, who's a 42-year-old woman. You're like,
and
then they like go to
back.
Kiss. You're like, what is happening here with this scene? And then Bill Cosby was molesting people the whole time.
The whole time. Hollywood.
Hilarious. Well, what else do we want to cover? I think we're kind of getting close to Joe Rogan time. I know we're getting close.
But the good thing is, we can keep going because we're not going to see these people again until next quarter.
Next quarter. We got to wait for the next GDP report for us to get on.
Yeah. Well, I've got two other topics.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk.
All right.
The one topic I'll say is abortion. And the only thing
I want to touch on. Thanks for bringing this up. Dude. This is what people come to this pod for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love abortion.
I literally love it.
Give us the update.
So, literally don't even want to get fully involved in it.
Let's start this segment again.
But, yeah.
Hold on.
Abortion. Nice. Andrew Yang, everyone.
Let's talk about those babies.
Okay. She hails from Sedona.
So abortion rights have been, they've been clamping down on abortion rights across the United States. It's crazy. Ireland of all places, abortion's legal. But in Texas, things are crazy. So I wanted to...
Are we racist against the Irish people? Why did we make that?
Because they're notoriously Catholic country.
Notoriously Catholic.
In the Catholic Church, you're not supposed to...
Ireland.
Hey, I'm Irish.
Can you believe those Irish pieces of shit? Those fucking legalized?
Potato fuckers.
All right, anyway.
No, I am Irish, so it's okay for me to say that. Okay, I'm sharing my screen. Cool. I just wanted to put this out there, you guys, because as...
Scientific Journal.
Abortion rights get... clamped down on for people who give birth across the country. I want people to be aware that there are many abortion pill services out there that will ship to any state. Any state in the United States, even if the abortion laws are like kind of up in the air or really restrictive. Right. So the one that I am familiar with is called aidaccess.org.
There you go.
So love it. Check it out. They can ship in very nondescript packaging, and it basically induces an at-home miscarriage.
Okay,
so,
cool. Wow.
Yeah, crazy. It's like not a comfortable thing to talk about for everybody, but
good to know that this
is
an
really
option.
Important for people to know. Because,
put it in a protective case.
Yeah.
Put in a little hammer on the outside of the case.
Exactly.
So like when pregged, knock it out. Because you do not want to take this when you think it's a fucking ivermectin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but people should know this because... if abortions become harder and harder to get, if they go for the back alley abortions that are really dangerous
really
and you could die, it's like there are safe
options
out
there.
So check it out.
Well, and I have, this is an outrageous thing that I think most people may or may not know on this podcast, but I, in college, I studied the shit out of Romania. It was my number one. Yes. It was like my big thing. I don't know why. I just got obsessed with Romania.
And
it was
obviously awesome. Now it's paying dividends.
Yeah.
This is... It's time that we finally announced the big twist. Andrew Yang speaking on
Romanian economics.
Oh God, the bit never gets old. So I studied a lot about Romania. The reason I bring that up is Romania in the 90s, or in the 80s rather, when Nicolae Ceausescu was still in power, they implemented a very draconian, very intense anti-abortion, anti-contraceptive policy, which is what, there's a film called 5 Months, 3 Weeks, 2 Days, I believe, or 4 Months, 3 Weeks, 2 Days, which is about it. And it's a devastating movie. It won the Palme d'Or like in 2009 or something. Wow. The Cannes Palme d'Or. So it's like a very well regarded, very beautiful film. But all the conversations around abortion, this is often part of the reality, is that like, you don't get rid of abortion, right?
No.
You just women choose different methods, women and men, quite frankly, because I think that men will pressure women and will do gnarly things or whatever. So It just ends up, you end up getting the clothes hanger thing. You end up getting like fucking bad adoptive situations where, you know, you get the fucking, there's a lot of gnarly stuff. So even though abortion's a bad, it's like a gnarly topic, and I don't think anybody is pro abortion. There's no such thing as being pro abortion. You can be pro choice, but nobody's like,
get rid of those babies.
Let me abort. I want to abort. Yeah. Let's fucking
some
go
people
abort.
Might, but they're
Saturday
being...
afternoon, we're aborting, right?
They're being provocative, okay? Yeah.
But that's not what it is, right?
It is funny, because if you're not anti-abortion, that means you love aborting babies.
It's like, so ridiculous. But
it sounds crazy.
It's like you know what? Like, whatever. If you want to, that's your right, too.
But
if
it's,
you are pro-abortion,
to me, it's
your
like, we don't want... like a governing body telling us what to do
with your body, with our body,
right?
And this is when the boomers say, "Well, school could give me my vaccine, bro."
Well, this is like the best thing now.
It is medically confusing. Like, do you want them involved or not? And and I think if you make them involved with vaccines, then you've opened the door to make them involved with abortion. And
totally.
Like, if you want them off your body, just say, fuck it. Like, it's going to be what it is.
It's a very confusing. We live in such a, this is again, like the teamsmanship of like the weird liberal Democrat, whatever, like owning the libs, owning the conservatives.
I don't have a lot of faith in some of these governing bodies.
No,
like,
of course not.
Doing a great job. That's why I'm like, just don't give them too much.
I know.
Because it's not going to.
But this is the fucking wacky ass shit, man. Because now we're like the vaccine and like all these other things where there isn't, it's just bizarre. We live in this bizarre time where you can't be like, well, you gotta let abortion be like, my body, my choice. I'm not getting the vaccine. Be like, well, like you're right, but I can't.
The thing is, I feel like if this country was like, sure, your body, your choice. You don't have to get the vaccine, but then you can't ride public transportation.
That's what I'm
saying.
You
can't ride airplanes. You can't go into the grocery store. You can't do this. It's like, that should be allowed. Like, these are all public places. You know, you have to keep everybody else safe.
If businesses want to make that choice, they can. And,
but then what happens with abortion? Can't you do the same thing with abortion? By
you can.
So you can't ride, can't go to the grocery store if you get an abortion.
What? How are they going to know?
I think
you have to report it.
You have to
tell the police.
Damn it. You have to have a card on you.
The new rule is when you get an abortion, you have to tell whatever cop is closest to you.
I think the argument is like the market will like stabilize those choices. Like if your sign outside of your sandwich store is like no abortions here.
Which brings me back to
don't
aid
offer
access.
Any abortions here.
Which brings me back to aid access. Nobody needs to know you've had an abortion either. Aid access is in the comfort of your own home. So
every time I have a girlfriend who tells me she had an abortion, I don't want to say I'm like shocked because I'm, but you know, it is a little bit of like oh, never would have known.
Yes.
Right?
Because people don't really talk about it or they're not comfortable being open about it or, you know.
Yeah, because they're not showing me the ribcage. I don't see all the scars, you know?
That's how it works.
That's how it works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, we know that the abortion process typically is, it's a very long, very rehabilitative process where you open up the guts and you fucking pull around the large intestine. You got to move all the stuff and then you got to replace a bunch of other stuff.
And then you send the fetus over to SpaceX. They put it in a little tube and they grow it into the next SpaceX factory workers.
Yeah. This is what
they don't tell you on mainstream media. That's why we're fucking coming back every quarter now, is to let you know how abortions work.
That's how it works, guys.
All right.
So So we're basically at a point where federally the law is not protected. So then right. the state is now going to mandate whether or not it's legal within the state.
Right.
So you're going to get this situation where some states it's legal, some mm-hmm. states it's illegal.
Right.
And you're going to just further kind of polarize, I think, like the states and the country's culture war.
I agree with that.
Like, yeah. this is a Christian state.
Right.
And this is a fucking hippie state.
So I agree with that. But I do think I am mostly okay with that. And not because I think that we necessarily should, but I do think there's always going to be a balance that has to strike.
Yeah.
Where like you're going to have people who are like living in liberal California and you're going to be like, fuck this. I want to move to like not liberal Texas. And then you're going to be like, all right, man, like go fucking Texas kind of sucks. Like you can do whatever you want, you know? So
the reason why
it sucks for people who can't go anywhere, but like we have to be able to create the opportunity for mobility for those people.
Yeah. I hear that.
I do think like, more than we realize, the environments we are from and live in
right.
probably shape our belief structures quite a bit.
For sure.
Like if you're from California, you just like assume the identity of like a lot right. of California politics, I think. And it's the same with probably Texas and conservative places. So like if your state is like, this is how things are done, it doesn't give you a lot of freedom.
Yeah, mental like freedom. Yeah.
To choose what you really think.
It's a good Granted, resource.
I don't
good
know if anybody that. Gives a or is like really like thinking things through. Anyway,
it'd be interesting to see a breakdown of the state by state laws that have like even down to things like income tax, because you always hear about when people are just like, "Oh, Jenny Sue moved to Florida," and we're gonna be like, "Well, why the fuck would you move to Sarasota?" And be like, "Well, I don't have income tax."
Yes.
There. I'm just like, I didn't know that. Where would I know how their tax system works? You know, so I think that's actually moves interesting.
To Florida,
yeah. It's an interesting thing. All right. We got one more topic, maybe. I think, Dog, you wanted to talk about abortion.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about abortion twice? Was that
no.
the goal?
No. Yeah, I wanted to bring up
two
that
more topics.
Twice.
First is abortion.
First abortion. Second
is abortion.
Abortion. No, second one I thought we would touch on is related a little bit to the strike.
Okay.
Striking and unions and whatnot.
Right. Baseball.
Alec Baldwin shooting.
Oh, yes. This was another hot one that happened.
Big thing that happened this year, you guys.
This was very confusing. I don't really understand. I mean, you're Mr. Hollywood over here, maybe is better, might understand this better than we do. I also noticed you have a very nice new mechanical keyboard.
Oh, let's
Ooh,
talk about
la,
let's,
la.
Are we talking about mechanical keyboards? Or are we talking about baseball? Or are we talking about Alec Baldwin?
Let's talk about Alec Baldwin.
Okay. Alec Baldwin.
There is a big mechanical keyboard scene.
There is
on Reddit.
There is a big mechanical keyboard scene.
And I definitely am into
it. At some point, we have to come back and do boring subs again.
This is like a whole, I can talk to you about this for a while.
Okay, I'll save it after the pod.
I actually am like
really into
strangely
mechanical
into
keyboard.
It. Yeah.
We've talked about this before. You are a mechanical keyboard like enthusiast.
Enthusiast, yeah.
Like some people watch birds, you mechanical keyboard.
I love the way it sounds. I love the way it feels. It's fun typing on them. I love it.
So Alec Baldwin. So for anybody who's been living under Iraq, this is for anybody who's living in Iraq right now. Alec Baldwin basically shot somebody on set with what was presumed to be a prop gun. For some fucking reason, it had real ammo in it, and I do not understand how or why.
Yeah.
And it went off, and they shot, he shot a camera op.
Yeah.
And she died.
Yeah.
And it became a, like, huge fucking deal, and he's really shredded about it. I don't think, I mean, again, he is a great actor, but I don't think that there's no reason to assume that he's not actually shredded about it.
And, yes. Continue.
And I think that's all I really know. I don't know anything more than that.
Yeah. I think the thing that's super interesting about this story is that it happened right in the midst of the IATSA union.
Yes. That is actually interesting. And I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So this was another union that was redoing its contract.
Yes.
Yes.
And IATSA is probably you would
yes.
be the perfect
so
person
all
to
the,
tell.
IATSA is all the people who work on a film or TV set that do things like lighting, like
the grips and shit, right?
Grips, crew. But like crew, like all like the moving parts, like all like the workers essentially.
It's a crazy light. I'm looking in the middle. Doesn't matter.
Are in any union called IATSE, and they're basically right. the you know they've been historically overworked and They're kind of first on set, last to leave, because they're the ones like setting it up and taking it down. So, you know, the actor flies in, sits in their trailer, leaves first. And they're like, that was such a hard day. And you're like, dude, you didn't really do shit.
Right. I can't believe how lukewarm my coffee was today.
Yeah. And meanwhile, these workers are spending like 16 hours, 18 drive hours.
Time, transportation. It's basically all day. And then and then they got to be there again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. again. So like turnaround flops are quick and too quick. And so they're basically going on strike and they're saying, look, like we need some rules because people are getting worked to death. And like, you know, they paid like fine, but not enough kind of thing.
And one of the things they mention is like the deaths and injuries they're talking about happening because of these long days are things like getting in the car, going home to drive and falling asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, totally.
Like you've been worked to the bone. It's not safe to then drive home. So it's also not safe to operate guns on set. So this was interesting that it happened right in the middle of these talks because it brought up the idea of like, is this, you know, a production that has been following all of the rules? Like, are the producers on this film, like, you know, by the book? Are they?
Yeah. And like financially, the way it works is like, I'm a producer, Joe Hollywood Bags. And like, I find a script, I find a director, I find an actor, and then I go to financiers and I go like, I need $25 million. And like, you get that money. So that's your pile of money. Mm-hmm. You have this, you run some scenarios. Right. You're like, this could make $50 million. So I could, you know, spend X, make Y. Right. And so the less you spend, the more you make essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. So you can, you know, as you're hiring and building out your financial models, you're going like, okay, 25 shoot days cost me X, 35 shoot days cost me even more. And so, you know, the tighter, the more you can pack into the schedule, the more money you make. So it all comes back to like profit. So the faster you can get, try to cut down shoot days, try to cut down overall like overhead costs,
fake bullets,
hotel costs, you know, food costs on set, like all that little stuff like adds up and it basically is more or less money that the producer is going to take home.
By the way, really quickly, Shia LaDouche, I think maybe Shia LaDouche may work in the film industry because they are contributing some seemingly inside info. I can't really tell, but in London. So anyway, continue. I also really quickly, because I know that we're running out of time anyway, but like, how the fuck did a real bullet end up in this goddamn gun? I don't understand that.
So the gun was an antique gun because it's an antique Western. So that's one interesting element. Like the old guns and shit, like just don't work very well. So the fact that it happened, I'm like, okay, I get that like that mistake could have been made because it's an old fucking antique gun.
And they didn't. So is it that they didn't want to add a boom in post? So they were like, put real gunpowder in there, and they're just
they use real bullets all the time because the reactions are real, and it's just like it feels like a real moment, you know, like a blank.
Oh, a blank. Okay.
Yeah. So they use them because it's like it's reactive. You go, it's fucking. It's a real bullet.
The noise will be like real.
Yeah, and so it just feels real. But so the antique gun triggers and shit don't work like they should. So the mistake within the gun's mechanics, like you can sort of wrap your head around that. Why there was a real bullet there, that's kind of a question nobody understands. Like the conspiracy theory of it all that I'm definitely just making up is like Baldwin's been this like uber liberal guy who's like, who's been like
the conspiracy theory that I'm making that
I'm
up.
Pushing. Yeah. Well, no, I'm kind of going like, why would somebody bring bullets? There's two things. There's the stuff with Ayatze where like he was a producer on the movie, so he stands to make money off of however much money they don't spend.
Yeah. So he might have been cutting corners.
So if he's like pushing the crew too hard and they're pissed, there's that conspiracy, right? Like maybe somebody was just like, fuck that
somebody
guy.
Somebody threw it in there. Yeah.
I'm going to like, but it's so random how it happened. The other conspiracy is like, maybe these are like conservative people that hate liberals. This one's like a big stretch, you know? And maybe like someone's just trying to fuck with him as like a Hollywood producer, like baby eater kind of a thing.
Right.
I don't know if I don't believe that, but I'm so you just don't know what someone's motivation could have been, but so it seemed like somebody like
they assumed that he was going to shoot the baby and the baby meat was going to get tarnished and was going to make bad baby meat.
That's correct. Okay. That's exactly
that makes
right.
sense. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know. It seems like somebody brought bullets and put them in the box like on purpose. I don't know how she could have fucked that up.
It feels to me like even what you just said about the antique gun thing, like there's always a possibility that, I mean, you know how these things happen where just like there's some series of anomalous things, but like somebody gets a gun from an antique store and then like And then they would never in a million years assume that there's a bullet in it because it's a fucking antique store, right?
It wasn't that. It was like the bullet got loaded into the gun to use as a blank. It was a blank.
Yeah. So what do blanks and regular bullets look like compared to each other?
They look different. Blanks look like blanks. They have like a depressed nose. Like it looks, but it's still gunpowder.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have a a piece of metal.
Somebody put that motherfucker in there.
Die from a blank. There's like the, this is not how. I mean, it can actually cause a sound wave that can like cause concussion because
but that's not
like
what
if
happened,
you put it next to somebody, that's not what happened. So they are still dangerous, but this was just a real bullet, and they do. That the thing is, like, if you are a professional weapons expert, you would know the difference very clearly between a real bullet and a fake bullet or a blank.
Yeah, here's
so it seems like somebody put it in.
Here's a picture I'll share.
That's what's fucked.
This is also so another Shia LaDouche thing. Our in-house a film historian. So look at the Brandon Lee Crow case. They did a close-up loading scene with prop bullets. Armorer didn't check the weapon for another scene using the same gun. One prop round was left in the chamber. Then the next scene included blanks. Blanks plus prop round equals real bullet. So
because it propels the prop round out like a real bullet.
That or that the prop round is a round because it's a prop.
Okay.
And so there was a loading scene where you're putting the prop into the bullet.
Yeah.
Or you're putting the prop bullet into the chamber, which is just a bullet, right? And then you didn't take it out because then it's just a normal fucking gun, right?
Shit.
I hate it. I don't love it.
It was really sad. I knew people that knew the woman who got shot
because
like it's a pretty small community at the end of the day, like DP's crew. It's like a couple. It's hundreds of people.
Yeah. You
know?
Right.
So people, everyone knows each other.
Yep. Yep.
Especially if you've like worked in it for 10 years, like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Productions don't last. It's not like everybody with normal jobs who has a job for like 3 years.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like you have a job for like 3 months and then mix it up, right?
Yeah. That's what's fun about it.
I like that.
These little families.
It's crazy shit, man. Yeah. It's a really, really odd story. I think it's going to be, it is actually interesting that it is somehow related to the ongoing conversations around labor and anti-war.
It is.
I think that's like the theme. That's been the thing that's kind of the latest, most important cultural movement of our time that I think is obviously gaining steam. That's part of why I'm like the teachers union thing is probably going to be the one that really, really kicks it off into some serious way. Cause Kellogg's of course is still in the manufacturing world. It feels a little bit like it's a little confusing because it's almost like a kind of old school, like people on the lines
factories.
Need better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that almost that for people who don't know enough about it, that almost diminishes the bigger issue, which is like, straight up, these are unions who are just have lost power over time, and they need to reclaim their power.
And that
globalization, all the problems that are all happening.
Right. Yeah, and man, I see it in different industries, but like people treating their employees like they're just like their kind of personal slave property. Like,
totally,
and treating people like shit, and people are just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I know.
Why would I do this for your gain?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we've seen that the great resignation is what it's called right now. Everybody after the pandemic, there's tons of people who have just straight up quit their jobs and done other stuff. I think there's a lot of like people that were underpaid have gotten offers elsewhere. I think when I was like the labor market in our industry is really interesting right now because I think a lot of people are looking for employees because so many people were getting better pay elsewhere, wanted to fucking bail on the industry entirely, whatever. And so it's just kind of this. I think the pandemic had this really interesting social and mental effect on people where I think a lot of people are just like, fuck this. Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore.
This isn't fun.
Yeah. And then because of that, everybody coming back and be like, cool, it's time to go back and be like,
no,
I don't ever want to actually. Yeah. And then people would be like, what do you mean? So it's just like, an interesting effect. It's a really interesting effect.
It's a really good time to be like, you know. Do I feel like my job fulfills me? No.
Right.
But does it pay me to have a great time? No. Also.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, that's the thing that's been happening is like good times don't really exist right now.
Yeah.
Or they haven't been existing lately. So I think that like the thing that we used to be able to do a lot easier where we would just be like, I don't give a shit about my job because I get to fucking buy weird sex toys, right? Or whatever it is. And
at least I've got my sex dungeon.
Now I think people are just like,
I can't even afford my sex dungeon anymore.
I can't afford my sex dungeon. My friends don't want to come to my sex dungeon anymore because they don't, they're worried they're going to get COVID. Like, this fucking sucks, dude. I'm going to go back to school to be a park ranger.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what's happening right now.
It is.
In a very literal way. So,
yeah.
But anyway, well, fucking happy holidays and shit. We're going to have to close this one. I have to...
close it out.
Yeah.
What do you guys got going on today, huh? Sunday?
Church? I
got
to go watch the Browns play the Ravens, actually.
Oh, right on. Me too.
It sounds like I'm kidding, but I'm totally serious.
I believe you. I believe
so,
you.
I'm probably gonna head
playoffs,
over
playoffs, huh?
We are in the Browns are either going to completely collapse for the rest of the season or win the league.
Come on, league.
I know, that's what I keep saying. League. Might go to Baja Cantina if you want to go.
Oh wow. You're going for it.
We might have to. The game starts in 2 minutes ago. So
thanks for the invite. I'll be there too.
Come to Baja Cantina. You're a big league fan.
Yeah.
You've always been a big league fan.
I know.
We can put it on in my living room right now if you want.
Oh, we can do that. Do you have NFL Total Game League package?
No.
I don't know what channel it's on. We'll figure it out. All right. Anyway, well, this has been a fucking joy. We'll be back next quarter.
Really nice to see you guys again. This has been a real pleasure.
We're damn back. You know? Thank you, Shia.
Just put the Christ in Christmas for me. What about you guys?
Let's put the mass in mass surveillance.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful.
Christ mass surveillance.
Yeah, woo! See? Dude, well, fucking open up your minds. Dude.
I think Julian Assange is getting extradited back to the United States, too.
He had a stroke yesterday.
Oh.
Stroke or attempted murder?
Somebody, because Reddit's the best.
I don't trust anything. I mean, dude, come on.
The
Epstein,
top
bro?
Comment on that story was Julian Assange didn't stroke himself.
Wow.
Which the internet's the best.
The world we live in.
All right. Anyway, well, this is Did You Reddit, your quarterly, maybe more, maybe less podcast about the internet and Reddit by way of Reddit, the front page of the internet. My name is your dad, Krumpus.
And I am Dog Boobs.
I'm my Frida. Expensive Nights! Frida, though. Good to see you, everybody. Good Thanks to see for you, Shia. Tuning in, Shia.
Woo! Ha ha!
Oh, love it so much. All right. See y'all in the 2022.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.